Hi, good morning. This is Dakota Lone Star. Dakota Lone Star here with Cantankerous With Cause. And today I wanted to talk about how our lives, our very lives, because I believe the way it works is that I'm talking to a group of individuals. That's kind of how things always sort of work, right? Unless you're not all that bright. But our very lives may depend on a Donald Trump presidency. That's correct. You heard it here. Cantankerous With Cause from Dakota Lone Star. And we're going to talk about that today. The call number is 929-477-4090 in terms of the outset. And I'll get to your calls in just a moment. What I did want to do, though, is I've been talking a lot lately about their faith, their way, or the highway. I've been talking about that a lot lately. Their faith, their way, or the highway. Evidently, Tim Kaine, vice presidential nominee for for and by Hillary Clinton, stated that Catholics that do not get on board and were in terms of marrying homosexuals will be forced to leave the United States of America. All right, and I'm sure there are plenty. There are probably even people from the LGBTQ community that would agree with me that that's just not only not necessary, but really uncalled for in a nation that's comprised of individuals. And a lot of groupthink, and groupthink, generally speaking, is never good. Although like-minded individuality can be great for a nation and even as a group at times. So, all right, so we're going to talk about it today. And there's an amazing article in the Monday, October 24th edition of the Washington Times by Paul Kengor, Hillary's Faith in God and Roe She Trusts. And it's interesting because I'm going to get to a Hillary HRC quote in just a moment, but that totally backs up everything that Tim Kaine has said on the campaign trail as of late in terms of their faith, their way, or the highway, literally. And I don't think that's the America that we want. You might as well just, you know, if Hillary happens to win this election, you might as well just go find every book that you disagree with, every author that you have a problem with, and begin burning books. And we'll just call it we'll just refer to you as the book thief from now on. And or going forward, the book thief, collectively speaking. And that's not good for America. That's, you know, Adolf Hitler would be so proud. But I want to get to this article by Paul Kengor. And great article with a brilliant quote to boot. But I wanted to talk about this. Anyway, I was reading. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read the article, and then I'll just stop and discuss portions of it and take your phone calls as well. All right, Paul Kengor in the Monday, October 24th edition of the Washington Times. Secretary Clinton, I want to explore how far you believe the right to abortion goes, asked Fox News Channel's Chris Wallace, moderator for the third and final presidential debate. You have been quoted as saying that the fetus has no constitutional rights. You also voted against a ban on late-term partial birth abortions. Why? And then Kengor writes, Mrs. Clinton's answer was precisely what we've come to expect. She bristled, her voice turning sharp, her tone unyielding. Quote, because Roe v. Wade very clearly sets out that there can be regulations on abortion so long as the life and the health of the mother are taken into account. Now, I wanted to stop there because If we were to, or if you were, as my listening audience, to believe Libby's, the Change Has Come to Americanites, then basically, I'm sorry, I'm having a quick technical difficulty. I'll be over that in just a moment. Interestingly enough, you would believe, you know, that the life and the health of the mother are always you know, the reason, and that can be so broad, that can be such a broad stroke, and it is. It's such a broad stroke that it, we can look at the figures another day in terms of the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of abortions in the United States on an annual basis. And the life and the health of the mother. Now, leftist Nazi libtards would say that the health of the mother would include an individual's right to go out and have sex as often as they want, and then there are no repercussions. And we see that with the morning after pill or abortifacients. That's definitely, you know, I'm sure they're trending. I'm not sure where their sales are at in terms of the manufacturers' numbers and abortifacients. But then the article goes on to say it was her canned answer when I've heard countless times in my years writing about her. Okay, so Paul Kanger evidently has covered the Clinton camp, which definitely mirrors the Change Has Come to America camp, which definitely mirrors the Adolf Hitler camp, and leaning on filmmakers and video makers and documentarians because they don't agree with the subject matter. Well, tough. Put on your big boy pants and your big girl panties and get a life. So basically, it goes on to say, Donald Trump's retort was a good one, one of his best. Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay, and Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me. With that, Hillary grew angry, denouncing Mr. Trump's scare rhetoric. maybe what some people need is just a smidgen of fear, a healthy dose of fear, perhaps. As opposed to the actual fear that terrorists and urban America levies on true Americans each and every day from the elderly African American community to innocent bystanders and youth and so forth, and then terrorism the world over. But if you want to get under Hillary's skin, Kanger writes, challenge her on abortion, what she considers a sacred right, the hill of Roe that Hillary would die on. I love that. That's really great writing. She continued with this telling line. Here we go. Here we go. This is vital. If you catch nothing else that I've said today, make sure that you hear this. Hear me on this. She continued with this telling line, Kanger writes, the government has no business in the decision that women make with their families in accordance with their faith about individual women, their faith, right, in accordance with their faith. And I presume we're talking about individual. Again, being interrupted for a brief moment, but that women make with their families in accordance with their faith. Well, what about the faith of a bakery owner? And I talked about that at length in my last program. What about the faith of a small business bakery owner that wants to serve the contextual biblical Jesus in the United States of America, and where Nazis have ruled the day for over 8 years, or just under 8 years at any rate now. So, you know, it's interesting because the left is entirely willing and jumps at the chance to applaud individual faith where singular women are concerned, but they won't talk about the facts that, you know, that it's not okay for a female baker to not create a cake for a lesbian couple. I mean, okay, am I missing something here? All right, so I thought that that was pretty actually damning, and will prove damning in the future, those kinds of quotes. And Tim Kaine said the same thing. He basically, if I were a Catholic, I would distance myself from the HRC or Hillary Rodham Clinton camp so quickly that I would have done so the day before yesterday, so to speak. And no pun intended, that's not a tongue-in-cheek tweet kind of thing, that from someone that doesn't have over 1,000 followers quite yet, but I would distance myself greatly from anyone that stated their faith, their way, or the highway, because the next thing that we're going to hear is Nazi boots on the ground, and mark my words, Hillary's Faith in God and Bro She Trusts, by Paul Kinger. Now, I want to jump over just another brief. This is where it gets brilliant. He goes on to say, that brings me back to Hillary Clinton. She is a classic religious left Christian. Perfect. In her mind, her position on abortion, even partial birth position, is a moral one. Kinger said, I have no doubt that Hillary feels that someday she'll be able to stand before her savior, but what about the savior versus her savior, and make the case that she did what she thought was right because she was seeking to save women's lives via legal abortion. Yep, irrespective of the 60 million unborn victims of Roe v. Wade. Perfect. There's Mr. Kinger has several brain cells at work and is a bright, one of America's brightest minds. Kinger goes on to say, Hillary is far from alone in that belief among the religious left. Do a Google search on the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. It's an entire organization of left-wing believers who seem to think that the Creator would approve of Roe v. Wade. And I love that he used the word creator there. I love it because I've been speaking about this for several years now, that there are two spirits gone out into the world, the spirit of creation, the spirit of destruction. And then among the members are the Episcopal churches. I'm sorry, the Episcopal Church, Mr. Obama's United Church of Christ. Imagine that they're part of the classic religious left Christianity of classic religious left Christianity because they are Presbyterian Church USA and other mainline groups. Most significant to the Hillary discussion, Hillary's United Methodist Church was a pivotal founding member. It finally withdrew only last April. The UMC's liberalism on abortion is a key reason that Hillary glows about being so comfortable as a member. Kinger said, so think about it, conservative Christians. How can you insist to Hillary that she's not being a Christian and supporting legal abortion when all of these mainline Christian groups, including her own, were supporting legal abortion? Do I agree with these groups? No, I think they're off their rockers. And they are off their rockers because it's it's really become quite apparent to those of us with measurable actual faith and intelligence to go hand in hand, that the Nazi boots, see, we can hear the Nazi boots. We can hear them sharpening their blades and their swords and their bayonets. And not that we should go after manufacturers of knives and swords and so forth, even though that's the instrument of choice in the Middle East and large swaths of Africa. And for dealing with Christians, which brings me to another point. I mean, this interesting new age that in which we find ourselves. But and this is pretty interesting. I'm going to touch on this a little bit. Under Obama, there's a disproportionate, even inordinate amount of Muslim immigrants being relocated, as opposed to Christian or minority immigrants that were also residents of one presence of their of it would be homeland for Christians and minorities in the Middle East. So it's interesting because this particular beloved half white rock star will go on television on the radio and speak to how Muslims have suffered more than more than the free world has suffered at the hands of terrorism. Well, yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, if you're going to look at things collectively speaking and continental, in terms of the continental divide, and there is a continental divide, and you're in la-la land, if you don't think that once there are another 3 or 4 million, 5, 10 million, whatever, Muslims that obtain residency, you're in la-la land if you don't think that the amount of cases will go up where homosexuals are being murdered and where atheists are sought out and where Christians are certainly sought out as well. Because why would things be different? You're in la-la land if you believe that this influx, this new generation, if you will, of refugees will act any differently than they have in Germany and in Sweden and in other portions of Europe where Angela Merkel is so deranged and so off the track and so off the rails of this crazy collective crazy train that she's blaming her own women for being raped. And that's kind of interesting. So if you want to, you know, here's the Colleen Huffords, you know, if here's a liberal litmus test for, I'm sorry, historically conservative litmus test for liberals. Name one person or one individual American that has either had their life stolen from them over the course of the last, whether it was a Dylann Roof, someone that was subject to a demonic Dylann Roof, or a Colleen Hufford, for instance, in Oklahoma that was beheaded, or any one of the San Bernardino people that were targeted at San Bernardino by the San Bernardino Devils. Just go ahead, you know, just do your homework for once. Name one person, for God's sake. See, that's the difference between our camp and your camp. We have a serious problem when we lose one actual American that's, you know, working and or attempting to work or looking for work and or creating something, creating videos with their selfie sticks, whatever. But we have a problem when if – let me put it this way, and I really couldn't be more blunt about this. Let's imagine for a moment that a woman moves over here from the Middle East or a large swaths a portion or country in Africa, and she's Muslim. But she wants – she's exploring the American way of life, the American dream, if you will, and the pursuit of actual pursuit of happiness as opposed to what goes on in her homeland in terms of the treatment of women. And yet Hillary Clinton will take money from those Sharia shanks that they would possibly refer to as men in their lands. We have enough boys over here that we anyway. But interestingly enough, if a Muslim woman came over here and wanted to lead a peaceful life because she wanted to experience what America used to be before change came to America in 2008, philosophically and spiritually speaking, and she were beheaded by someone that was just pro-Sharia to the bone, and in the name of Allah, workplace violence, I talked about that last week, workplace violence in the name of Allah. So I'll concede, Mr. President, that workplace violence has occurred on a few occasions here, possibly even in the San Bernardino incident, massacre. But workplace violence in the name of Allah, so that's like a half concession in one sense. So anyway, so when we lose a person, and I would be just as upset if a woman was escaping someone that was beating her in the Middle East, and she wasn't ready to toss the towel in where her faith is concerned as an individual. God forbid, in these new United States of America. And she was, God forbid, beheaded. I would have but she was over here to work. You know, she was over here to learn more about our culture. She, even though she didn't plan on ever becoming an atheist or a Christian or otherwise, or a Buddhist or Hindu or whatever, or a Sikh or, like I said, an atheist. But she was over here. You know, she was willing to actually coexist in truth and in spirit and in truth. She was willing to coexist. And then she were beheaded, we would be just as upset. But see, here's the problem with the left. They don't give us a chance to say that because they just want to throw all these labels at us. And thankfully, our collective shoulders are wide enough to take all of your BS, and we'll willingly do that because we are America's Oath Keepers. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So anyway, under Obama, there's been a disproportionate, even inordinate amount, and I think it's been the same with Europe, Sweden, the Netherlands, England, Germany. There's been a disproportionate, even inordinate, here's what's interesting, it's an inordinate affection, by and large. A lot of these photos that we see, there's not very many women and children. Most of these guys are the ones. You know, I find it hard to believe that women and children are laying hands on women in Sweden to the tune of 500,000 sexual assaults. That would be really strange if not untrue. But so if you want to blame women for being raped, welcome to Hillary's America. If you want to blame women for being raped, welcome to Tim Kaine's America. If you want to blame women for being raped, welcome to Angela Merkel's America. If you want to blame women for being raped, welcome to Change Has Come to America in 2008 in the form of a halfway rock star that reads from a teleprompter fairly well at times, most of the time. But anyway, all right, so why on God's green earth aren't we doing more as a civilized world, quote unquote, to airlift some of these Christian minorities at to the tune of 0.5% of, or 0.25% of Middle Easterners that are being slaughtered and dismembered and crucified upside down and burned? And so if we're civilized, if the United Nations is civilized, why aren't there airlifts going on right now as we speak to save, God forbid, a few minority Christians that actually have black fathers and black mothers in Nigeria? Or okay, so I think I've covered about as much as I want to cover now. But all right, so make no mistake, I'm going to end on this note. Make no mistake, Christianity does not loathe the LGBT community enough to physically harm even one of them. Not even a hair on their head. But people that adore Sharia law, and the studies are in anywhere from 20 to 50%, depending on which camp you kind of have chosen to make your home, love Sharia law. And Sharia law, I think you're in la-la land if you believe that Sharia law, subscribers to Sharia law would ever soften their stance where homosexuality is concerned. So you may want to just kind of stop taking the drugs that have you fooled. I'm not trying to throw a scare tactic out there. I'm just saying that even if it's only 10% of migrants, 10% of 5 million people that are secretly plotting to the demise of the modern family, and atheists and so forth. So you better wake up. Better wake up, folks. Even if it's 5%. Oh wait, but then you know, if it was under 10%, you're probably just looking at speed bumps, quote unquote, based on an appraisal by our halfway rock star. So yeah. So anyway, God save actual Americans of every persuasion, African American, Americans of African descent, Americans of European descent, God forbid I mention that, Americans of Asian descent, and Americans of Indian descent, and Americans of African descent already. Except for where women are concerned, that have been taken hostage by Boko Haram, and Gilly Boy Chigowry, who gave the Clinton Foundation money and asked that Boko Haram be kept off of a terrorist watch list. Yeah, that's Hillary's America. Beautiful, right? So it's okay to point to a girl, a 15-year-old, tried true and blue Democratic operative in Pennsylvania, and speak to women and how they view their bodies. And the speech was written by Daddy, the leading Democrat in his county. It's probably easier, I would guess, to point to someone like that than to fly into Nigeria and help Nigerian girls and women emancipate Nigerian girls and women. Just as an example, because those numbers are, you know, on the liberal end of the spectrum, libtarded sources will state that over 2 million people have been affected and displaced and murdered, and now that, and then on the other side of the coin, you got some people are saying it's over 2.5 million, and I wouldn't consider those people road bumps in, on the road to this new utopia that you think everyone's gonna kind of adhere to and subscribe to, and you're high, you're injecting, you're smoking, you're snorting, you're injecting, and you're drinking all at the same time. If you think that we're not in for more crime, but you know, it's just a couple of lives. I mean, no big deal, right? And just like the approximately 20 people that are gunned down in urban America, collectively speaking. So you take, let's just run those numbers a little bit, because Hillary always triple the numbers, the actual figures, and because she's so honest. But let's say approximately 20 African-American men are gunned down on our streets and within urban America. Let me remind you of that. And take that times 365. You know, you do the math quick on that. I don't care to right now. But do they really, do Black Lives Matter? You know, I'm kind of wondering, and then the Rudy Giuliani's are next to crucified for stop and frisk to protect Black communities. Aren't those communities comprised of, 60, 70, 80, 90%, upwards of 100% of, in terms of minority inhabitants of any given community? And but yet, the Rudy Giuliani's are the, aren't constitutional for stop and frisk. I mean, really? Do Black Lives Matter? You need to answer that question for yourselves, because you're liars. You're just straight up lying to the American public. And unfortunately, 35% of America is not intelligent enough to call you on your lie, to create their own Snopes.com and to call you out. So anyway, thank you so much for listening. Check me out online at www.40and28.weebly.com, on Twitter at @DOC_OTALoneStar, and on Facebook, Dakota Lone Star. All right, so, if you want to vote for the people that continually lie to you and go on to create the Detroits of the free world, be my guest. But don't come crying to us in the end. I mean, we would have you, because that's what Christ would have us do. But the living, biblical, contextual Jesus Christ would have us love people, right? And I believe that to be a truism. But having said that, you know, don't cry foul just because Dakota Lonestar stated that one day you'll come back crying on your hands and knees. You were right. The Christians weren't the trigger men. You were right. The Christians weren't behind the blade. You were right. The Christians weren't behind oppression of a physical nature. You were right. Ciao.